Okay, so first, we're going to have a little story.
Okay? So, once there was an old man named Abraham, and he had an old wife named Sarah. So, when people grow older, they want to live where they've always wanted to live and do some fun things. So, but God had another idea for Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham and Sarah it was moving time. He wanted them to pack up everything and move. Do you guys know where to? Well, they didn't either. God didn't tell Abraham and Sarah where to move. God just said to move. So, there was no roadmap, no travel schedule, just pack up and move. Hebrews 11:8 says, "It was by faith Abraham obeyed God's call to go to another place that God promised to give him. He left his own country not knowing where he was to go." Now, that requires trust. What is trust? Any ideas? No? Well, trust is when you love someone so much that, and you know that that person loves you so much, that you'll do just about anything that person asks you to do. So, right now, I'm going to ask you guys to put on these blindfolds, and you guys are going to have to follow Sarah over there throughout the church, okay? And no peeking, okay? So, I'm gonna line you up real quick.
Okay, so, forward. Okay.
They don't know where you are.
Right here. Okay, right here. Okay, so, grab the person's shoulders in front of you. Now, follow Sarah. Okay, so, Abraham left his home and his land and went with God to a faraway country, and I'll bet there were days when Abraham was wondering where God was leading him. Is that what you're wondering right now? I'll bet it is. So Abraham, he followed God, and eventually God soon led Abraham to Canaan. God told Abraham that Canaan was his new home. Okay, guys, you're almost back home. Okay. You can take off your blindfolds now. Okay, so, yep, give them to Abraham. Okay, so, how did it feel to have to trust someone? To know where you guys are going. It hurts. Yeah, it makes sense. Anyone else? No? Yeah, it does hurt. So, in a way, life is a trust walk. Sometimes we don't know where we're going, but if God is in front of us, he's leading and caring for us. So, God will always be with us, and we can trust him no matter where we go or what we do. So this week, remember that although we don't know where we're going, God is going with us, and we can walk in faith. Okay. So you guys can be dismissed to your class now.
So, who's proud of the youth so far? I think I found someone to do the kids' message. All right, well, right now we got Pastor Brett coming up. He is the youth pastor / children's ministry director / VBS director / what else you got? Yeah, he just, Pastor Dan tells him to do something, and he goes, okay. He's from Highland Congregational. You've been there how long now? About a year and a half. His first entrance into HCC was VBS last year, really.
Yeah, yes.
And he just about had a nervous breakdown. But we're glad to have him here to share with us today. I just want to pray over him and his message, and then we'll hear from Pastor Brett. Father, we thank you so much for what you do for us. We thank you that we are alive because you live. And thank you for all the youth and all the different roles they're filling today and what you do in their life. And just want to ask that you'll preach through Pastor Brett. You'll give him your word. You'll give him your message. And that you will be glorified, and we'll all walk out of here one step closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, Brett, I forgot one thing. Can I hold you off for a
second? Yeah, absolutely.
Isaac, get your butt down here.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on. Everyone turn around and look at Isaac. He's in the sound booth. I know, yeah. Jazz will happily drag you down here. So Isaac's our graduate this year. And so we want to say thank you. And Isaac now is growing up, and he has promised to pay his mom and dad's mortgage. You don't have a mortgage anymore, so yeah, it's an easy payment. See, I'm helping you out. We like to send out graduates with a little something to help you in your walk, because as you go forward in your life, life becomes more challenging, and your faith is going to be challenged more and more each and every day. And so we want to give you something that we hope will help you in that. But first, you got to share briefly what your plans are.
I'm going to be a mechanic. I already go to Baker College in Owosso for automotive.
Are you going to do diesel? All right, so he may be diesel. So when you need a mechanic, he's not certified yet. So, you know, I talk to Dave and see if you want to trust him with your car. But here's this. And we do appreciate it. Isaac was our photographer. So all the pictures you saw from VBS, Isaac took all those. Yes, you can go now. Okay. Okay, Pastor Brett, it's all yours.
Well, good morning, Bancroft. It is so good to be here for your guys' Youth Sunday. And let me just say, I am super excited to be here this morning. I'm excited to be here for three reasons. First of all, I love kids. And I follow you guys on Facebook, and all this past week I saw all you guys' pictures from VBS. And it looks like you guys had an absolutely awesome week. And seeing those pictures, it just made me super excited to come here this morning. And then second, as crazy as they can be, I love middle school students, and I love high school students. And seeing them this morning come up here and lead us in worship and prayer and announcements and that children's message and that dude who had the beard and was playing as Abraham, that was super cool to see. And that made me excited to come up here as well. And then lastly, I love God's word, and having the opportunity to come up here and share the inspired word of God with you all this morning, it makes me very excited. But I have to warn you, oftentimes when I get excited, I start to talk really fast. So if at any point during this message I'm talking too fast, just like wave your arms or jump up and down, and I'll slow down so we can work together on that. If you have your Bibles this morning, I would encourage you to turn to them to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. And we will be reading verses 24 through 27. First Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says this: "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever heard of Vince Lombardi? Let me see your hands. Vince Lombardi was a great coach for the Green Bay Packers in the 1960s, and he once said, "Winning isn't everything, it's the only thing." By a show of hands, how many of you have ever heard of George Steinbrenner? Let me see your hands. George Steinbrenner was the late great owner of the New York Yankees, and he once said, "Winning is the most important thing in my life after breathing. Breathing first, winning next." I'm sure he was fun at parties. And how about Muhammad Ali? How many of you heard of Muhammad Ali? Muhammad Ali was the great heavyweight boxer, and he once said, "I hated every minute of training, but I said, don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion." If you were to compile a list of some of the greatest winners of all time, I believe that five-time NFL champion coach Vince Lombardi, seven-time World Series champion owner George Steinbrenner, and three-time heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali would all be at the top of that list. And that's because to those three individuals, winning mattered, right? And winning was of utmost importance. Winning was a crucial aspect to their life. In the ninth chapter of the Apostle Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, which is what we just read, we see Paul express his desire to win. Right, in the same way that winning mattered to guys like Lombardi and Steinbrenner and Muhammad Ali, winning mattered to Paul, and winning was of utmost importance. But in this passage, Paul, he's not talking about winning a baseball game or a football game or a boxing match. Instead, he's talking about living a victorious Christian life, which is a faithful life full of constant spiritual growth and gospel-focused ministry. So essentially what the victorious Christian life is it is a life that is fully devoted to Jesus Christ. So the question I want to focus in on this morning is, what does it take to live a victorious Christian life? And what does the victorious Christian life require? And the answer is, it requires four things. We're going to start by looking at three, and then I'll close with the last one. And those first three things are discipline, focus, and perseverance. And we'll examine each of those in greater detail. But before we do that, let's first bow our heads and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity, Lord, just to gather together as one people in one house, Lord, to talk to you, Lord, and to worship you, and now to open up and study your word. And we just ask now, as we dive into this passage in 1 Corinthians, Lord, that you just give us open hearts and open minds to receive your word here today, Lord, and then to take the things that we learn from your word and apply them to our lives as we go from this place. Lord, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you so much for all you do for us each and every day. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We ultimately thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and we pray all of these things in his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. The first thing required to live a victorious Christian life is discipline. Take a look with me at verse 24 in the beginning of verse 25, where Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." And then he says, every athlete exercises self-control or discipline in all things. When Paul penned this letter, there were two huge athletic festivals held by the Greeks. And the first was held every 4 years, and you may be familiar with these. They were called the Olympics. You guys are one for one. Good job. And the second was held every 2 years, and those games were called the Isthmian Games. And the Isthmian Games were held at Corinth and were therefore very familiar to those to whom Paul was writing, because Paul is writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And one of the biggest events each or every other year at the Isthmian Games was the race. And because of that, Paul, in this passage, he uses a racing analogy to emphasize the truth that winning a race, whether a physical race or a spiritual race, requires discipline. Over the past couple months, I've had the pleasure in taking part of a really cool Bible study at my home church. The name of this Bible study is Run for God. And at Run for God, what we do is we meet every single Tuesday night, or just about every Tuesday night, and we start off each meeting by going on a run or a walk. I know some of you are like, that sounds like my worst nightmare, you know, but I promise it was fun. And then after our run, we'd come inside and we would have a Bible study. So it was like we were exercising our physical bodies and we were exercising our spiritual bodies. But the purpose of that run slash walk that we do before our Bible study was to train and discipline our bodies. Because at the end of our 15-week Bible study, we were going to be partaking in the Huron Valley for Hope 5K race, which I personally was planning on winning. But my plans were foiled when the race started and like 50 people zoomed by me. And I was like, this isn't going to work. Even some kids were just, they were hauling. But really, though, if any of us wanted, in that Bible study, if I or any of us wanted to have a chance or a shot at winning that 5K race, it was going to require discipline, right? It was going to require showing up each week to train, prepare, and discipline. Oh, I have a slide here, and I don't have it off. Hold on. Down arrow. There it is. It was going to require, though, us showing up each week to train, prepare, and discipline our bodies so that on race day, we could break through whatever barriers stood in our way. So let me ask you, Bancroft, what barriers are standing in your way that hinder you from living that victorious Christian life? What areas in your life do you need to exercise discipline? Maybe you want to read your Bible more, and the only time you have in your day to do that is early in the morning. But sleeping in sounds really good. Maybe you want to spend time fasting and praying, but you feel like you're not very good at praying. Or maybe there's a Little Caesars just up the road with a hot and ready calling your name. I've been there plenty of times. Maybe you want to evangelize more, but you're scared of what your friends or your family might think of you. Or maybe you want to serve more, but going and doing spring cleaning for someone else, when I do it myself, that's crazy. Guys, in 1 Corinthians 9:25, Paul urges us to exercise discipline. Paul urges us to instead say, I want to read my Bible more, so I'm going to discipline my body to wake up 30 minutes earlier so I can spend time with Jesus. I want to fast and pray more, so I'm going to discipline my stomach and my mind and focus solely on Jesus for these next 24 hours. Maybe it's I want to evangelize more, so I'm going to discipline my mind to remember that I am a child of God, and it doesn't matter what other people say about me. Maybe you want to serve more, so you need to discipline your own selfish desires to help someone else in need. See, guys, discipline, it's something that we need the most, but oftentimes we want the least because it requires us to leave our comfort zone, right? It requires us to do things that are maybe a little out of the norm. But let me tell you guys, a disciplined life, it will help you live that victorious Christian life, right? If you have discipline, I promise you will find that you are drawing yourself closer to Jesus, which is a great thing. So I want to encourage you, number one, exercise discipline in your daily walk. So discipline is the first thing required in the victorious Christian life. And the second thing is focus. Take a look with me. Back in 1 Corinthians 9 at verses 25 and 26, where Paul says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, and I do not box as one beating the air. In the Isthmian Games, the winner of the race would receive a pine wreath, and this wreath signified fame, acclaim, and the life of a hero. And the winners of the race were immortalized, and they were instantly made famous in Corinth and in the surrounding cities as well. But that immortality or fame that they acquired from winning the race was temporary, or as Paul puts it, it was perishable. As Christians, we do not run for a short-lived pine wreath or short-lived fame, and that is a great thing, amen? We already have true immortality. In 1 Peter 1:4, it says that we run for an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. How cool is that? So you see, guys, the prize that we run for, it's imperishable. So I want to encourage you, and this is the key point this morning, I want to encourage you to keep your focus on the imperishable prize. Back in October of 2013, I ran my first and only half marathon. And in case you want to know why I say my only half marathon, here's a picture of me at mile 7. And as you can see, it looks like I'm dying. Because I was dying, it was an awful experience. I'm going to get that off the screen because that's terrifying. But as I was running that race, I remember being completely exhausted, right? My knees were aching, my feet were hurting, and every part of my body was telling me to stop running and just to quit. That all happened after like mile 2, so I was not off to a good start. But my mind was not focused on those distractions, right? If my mind was focused on those distractions, I never would have finished the race. I wouldn't have even gotten to mile 3 or 4, much less 13. And so no matter what distractions came my way throughout those 13.1 miles, there was nothing that was going to take my mind and my focus off that finish line. And I remember as I rounded the home stretch, I saw the finish line. I took off in a full-on sprint, and I crossed the finish line. I was so happy because I had finished a half marathon in just over 8 hours, which was great. No, it was an hour 53. It was a pretty good time. 8 hours, that'd be terrible. But in the same way that there are distractions in our life that, if focused upon, can keep us from winning the race for the perishable prize or even finishing the race, there are distractions that, if focused upon, can keep us from winning the race for the imperishable prize as well. Maybe it's media, right? Cell phones, television, Netflix, Hulu, sports, and entertainment. Those can all be huge distractions in our everyday lives. Maybe it's work. Right, spending the extra time in the office or making that extra dollar or getting that huge project done at the house. Or maybe it's routine. You've always done it one way and one way only, and that can't change. And while there's not anything necessarily wrong with these things, it's when we take our focus off of Jesus and put it onto those things like media, work, routine, or relationships where we can begin to fall behind in the race for the imperishable prize. And guys, the devil's going to throw distractions at you every day. He's going to try to put this in and this in and this. Don't focus on those things. You know, keep your focus on Jesus. And there are actually a couple verses in the Bible that offer up some good advice. And the first one is in Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn there if you'd like. I also have it on the screen. But Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, which says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin and distraction which clings so closely," and this might sound familiar, "and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to" who? Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the second is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. It's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, which says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things, focus on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." And he says it again, "Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, not on the distractions that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." It's when our eyes and our focus is truly on Jesus Christ that we will begin to see everything else in its right perspective. When our eyes are focused on Jesus, then we'll see media and routine and relationships in their right perspective. And when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can use us and can get us running and can ultimately get us winning. So as you are running this race that is life, and when you are striving to live that victorious Christian life, I would encourage you guys just to lay aside all the distractions that are thrown your way and just focus solely on Jesus. And set your mind on things above. Let Jesus occupy the forefront of your mind, and you will have great success. So far this morning, we've seen discipline and focus as the first two requirements to a victorious Christian life. And the third requirement I want to look at this morning is perseverance. Take a look with me at verse 27. I'm actually going to read this verse out of the NIV where Paul says, "No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Paul concludes this chapter with one final metaphor from the Isthmian Games. A contestant who failed to meet the training requirements prior to the race was disqualified. He could not run, and therefore he had no chance at winning. But the athlete who was willing to persevere through the rigorous training was in the race, could win the race, and could ultimately be crowned champion. So here's the key. Perseverance is the prerequisite to victory. I'll say it again. Perseverance is the prerequisite to victory. If you want to win, you have to be willing to persevere through the trials, tribulations, and challenges that stand in your way. In the physical race, maybe that's the long runs you have to do on Saturday mornings or Sunday afternoons, right? In the spiritual race, it could be persevering through the trials and tribulations that get thrown your way. It's you know, any of that. But Paul, he knew a thing or two about persevering through trials, tribulations, and challenges, okay? Well, I want you guys to see this. When Paul first got saved, right, before he was Paul, he was... You guys are 4 for 4. You're doing a great job today. He was Saul. And through that time, the Lord, he gives word to a guy named Ananias to go and pray for Paul, or Saul at the time, because he had been blinded on the road to Damascus. And when Ananias first hears this, here's how he responds. He says, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem." Because Saul was persecuting Christians. "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." And here's how the Lord responds to Ananias. The Lord says, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." That's in Acts chapter 9, verses 13 through 16. Let me tell you guys, Paul, he suffered, right? And he suffered big time. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul, he gives us some insight into some of his sufferings, into some of the things that he had to persevere through. And here's what it says, okay? Here's what Paul says. He says, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." I think you guys get the point, but here's what I want you to see, okay? It was through all these trials and tribulations, Paul persevered, okay? And it was his perseverance through these trials and through these tribulations that allowed him to say at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." How cool is that? So I want to encourage you guys again this morning, whatever trials, tribulations, and challenges get placed in your path, and believe me, if they haven't already, they're coming. There will be trials, tribulations, and challenges that get placed in your path. I want to encourage you this morning to be like Paul and persevere through those trials and through those challenges. And when you do, you will be able to say the same thing Paul said at the end of his life: "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." I think if you were to ask Paul if all those trials and tribulations, persevering through them, was worth it, I think 100% of the time he would say yes. And I think that's why he wrote this portion in that verse in that letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy. So it's worth it. So this morning, we looked at discipline, focus, and perseverance as the three things required in living the victorious Christian life. But there is still one very important ingredient. And you can say it's actually the most important ingredient to add to this recipe. There's still one more thing that is required in living the victorious Christian life, and that is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, take them and just go forward a couple chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start reading in verse 54. First Corinthians 15:54, and here we see Paul talking about our future resurrected bodies. And in verse 54, here's what he says. It might sound familiar. He says, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. I think this is my favorite portion of Scripture. This, like, gives me chills every time I read it. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have victory, and we have the ability to live this victorious Christian life because of Jesus, and because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Right? Discipline, focus, and perseverance really means nothing without Jesus. But when you have Jesus first and then you live that disciplined, focused, and life full of perseverance, you are on the path to living that victorious Christian life. So I want to close this morning with some lyrics from one of my favorite songs of all time, which is Victory in Jesus. How many of you are familiar with that song? Great song. I won't be singing these, though, because you don't want that, all right? That would be awful. But here's just the first verse. It's, I heard an old story how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. It's so great. I love that verse, and it's just so encouraging. And I want to just close by giving you guys this encouragement that as we go from this place, my challenge to all of you is to live that victorious Christian life together. Give all the honor and glory to Jesus first. But as you go from this place, find those areas in your life where you need to exercise discipline. Maybe it's getting up early or reading your Bible more or praying more. Just identify those areas and exercise discipline. Keep your focus on the imperishable prize, right? Don't let all these other distractions get in your way. Just keep your focus on Jesus and persevere through those challenges and trials and tribulations that get planned in your way. Just be like Paul, and I'm telling you, it is worth it. It is worth it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much again for this morning. Thank you so much, Lord, that Lord, you gave us the ultimate example and the ultimate manifestation of your love by sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, down to this earth some 2,000 years ago, Lord. And just thank you for Jesus' perfect life, Lord, his sinless life. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection. And just for what that means for each and every one of us, Lord, that because of Jesus, Lord, we have forgiveness of sins. And because of Jesus, we can repent of our sins, believe in his name, and we can win the victory. God, I just ask that as we all go from this place, Lord, that you be with us and that you bless us and that, Lord, you just help us to live that victorious Christian life, that you help us to win this race that we're all running right now, Lord God. And just help us, Lord, to live disciplined lives and to keep our focus on you, and to persevere through all of the trials and tribulations that get placed in our path. And in doing so, Lord, help us to give all of the glory and all of the honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, forever and ever, Lord. And we are just so thankful for your love, and we're thankful for your Son, Jesus. And we pray all of these things in his wonderful, wonderful name. Amen.